Our gospel lesson comes to us from the book of John, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Let us listen to the word of God this morning. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk, but you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So they're all at this wedding, and wouldn't you know it, the wine runs out. How do you have a party without wine, right? I'm sure everyone's gravely concerned, and according to Jesus' mom, it's a pretty big deal. In fact, she has a simple solution, not to go out and buy more, but to ask her son to fix it. She says, "Jesus, you know what to do. Just get it done." I don't know about you, but I can picture Jesus just thinking, "I didn't have this in mind as my first miracle. It's just not that incredible, making wine." Jesus is God in the flesh, and the first miracle his mom wants him to perform is to make sure the party doesn't end. He knows Scripture, and he knows the great miracles, the great ones, like Daniel in the lion's den, Elijah calling fire from heaven on the altar, Elisha healing Captain Naaman's leprosy. There are certainly more important and impactful miracles Jesus could perform, like healing a blind person or casting out demons. So he tells his mom, "This isn't it, Mom. You can't be here at a wedding just because the wine's run out. This is not going to be my first miracle." Now, his mom ignores him and knows he needs a little warming up to the idea. So she tells the servants to do what he says. And wouldn't you know it, he does it. He obeys his mom, and Jesus' first miracle is turning water into wine. I think God has a sense of humor, and he wants to remind us it's not always about the big, important, significant things in our faith, but it's about celebrating life. It's about relationships. Now, even the author of Ecclesiastes discovers this as wisdom. It says this in chapter 8, verse 15, "So I commend the enjoyment of life, because there is nothing better for a person under the sun than to eat and drink and be glad." There were healers in Jesus' time, people who could cure people just by a touch, but nobody could turn water into wine. That kind of thing just didn't happen. So his disciples, who'd been hearing him preach, just witnessed this first miracle. If they hadn't really believed he was really God in the flesh, they now saw him, Jesus, turn water into wine. My guess is they believed him. Impressively, Mary, recognizing the time, it was a right time. While it didn't seem glamorous, it was the right thing at the right time. It was more about the situation than anything. And sometimes the situation chooses us. It chose Jesus, and he had a choice. He could either pass it up or he could do it. This is what I want to talk about today. There are some times when a situation presents itself, and while it might not be what we had in mind, or it might not be what we wanted or planned or imagined, God has a way of nudging us. And it's in these nudges we can either follow God and, like Jesus, do it, or we can let the moment pass us by. So we have to ask ourselves over and over again whether we should let God work through us, whether it's the right time. Just like the dilemma Jesus faced when he was asked to make more wine, he quickly dodges his mom, reminding her that it wasn't his time, but somehow she recognized something that he didn't. Then he recognized it too. It's not just about him, but about what God desires. I know you've heard about these kinds of situations before, either in books or in real life scenarios where someone's at an impasse and presented a situation. They don't always feel the most qualified. They might not want to do it, but then they step out in courage. They step out in faith. Maybe they feel like they don't have any other choice, but they do it anyway. And the situation, however difficult or unglamorous it might be, God is able to work. Mother Teresa said, "I alone cannot change the world, but I can cast a stone across the waters to create ripples." In the movie, The Help, Abilene was a black maid in Jackson, Mississippi in the 60s, and a situation arose in which she had to take immense courage. She was asked by an aspiring young white author to share her point of view of a white family for which she had worked, the struggles she faced on a daily basis. You see, even having this kind of conversation with the author was illegal, and she knew that if she went down this road, she could find herself in jail or hurt or even dead. Abilene had to make a choice. She didn't even know whether she had the guts to share her story. It certainly wasn't a glamorous story. She was just a maid. She was a nobody. But in her story was the truth about how she and so many others faced racism on a daily basis. Somehow, she finally decides to tell her story. Maybe it was because she was tired. Maybe because she had nothing else to lose. Her son was just killed because he was black. She had just heard a sermon from the pastor about having courage. Whatever the reason, she was presented this situation to share her story about being a maid, and it took great courage and trust, and she did it. She told her story, and she convinced other black maids to tell their stories, and eventually those stories turned into this book, and it helped others know about how they were treated. In this moment, her courage turned into something bigger and more powerful than she could imagine. Somehow, God has a way of turning the unglamorous into something great. But what about those situations that aren't really impressive or glamorous? Because those are the kinds of situations that most of us are used to having. We're not Jesus or working on publishing a book with an author. But on a daily basis, we're presented with situations all the time, especially humdrum, unglorious ones, and we might want to know how God can work through it. Richard Bach says, "A tiny change today brings a dramatically different day tomorrow." A few years ago, on a snowy morning, while I was writing a sermon, Siobhan asked me to pause from writing for a few minutes. Now, the snow is not as heavy or as big as the one we had this last week, but she told me I should shovel the drive. I wasn't very thrilled about it, but I said, "Yes, dear." And right before I headed outside, Siobhan asked one more question. "Would you shovel our neighbor's drive too?" And she could tell I was hesitating and that I didn't really want to do it, so she reminded me, "You know, she's really old, and it would be awful if she fell when she went to go get her mail. Please, I'd really like you to do it." I took a deep breath, and I said, "Yes, dear." I knew it was the right thing to do, even though I didn't want to, so I went out to shovel two driveways. As I think about it today, I was shoveling someone's driveway. It's not the least bit glamorous. It wasn't something I woke up wanting to do. Even when I was asked, I didn't want to do it. In fact, my neighbor might not even have noticed. Similarly, this week, there were lots of people helping others. Those helping cars get unstuck, shoveling neighbors' drives, clearing sidewalks so kids could get to school safely. These are very unglamorous things. Just as we hear about Jesus turning water into wine, as we hear stories like Abilene's courage, sharing her story and convincing others, The reality is we're sometimes put into situations. Sometimes they amount to something incredible, while other times they don't. But if we open ourselves to the unglamorous situations, God can work most powerfully through the everyday, mundane things. My guess is Jesus knew this best. Certainly for a moment, he thought it wasn't his time. But then he recognized it wasn't about him, or whether it was the perfect miracle that he had ever imagined. Instead, it was always about God. If Jesus didn't open himself up to turn water into wine, something simple, something unglamorous, then what else would he miss? When would it be his time? God wanted Jesus to act in the simple, everyday kinds of things, because it wasn't about Jesus, it was about God. For God can turn the unglamorous into the astounding. Margaret Mead says this, "Never believe that a few caring people can't change the world, for indeed, that's all who ever have." That's what I hope you recognize this morning, especially as we install and ordain our church's leaders, the old people. Each of us will have many opportunities, many situations that arise, some not exactly as we anticipate, some not as easy as we would like, some we might not feel very qualified for, and some that aren't very glamorous. And yet today, as we ordain these folks and install them, we'll also see a large crowd who gather behind and put their hand and rest their hand on them and allow them to know that they are not alone in this venture, that we will help them through this, that God will help them, because God can work through each one of us. God can turn something simple and mundane and unglamorous into something that we can look back later and say, God put me in that situation so that I'd be ready for the next thing, and then the next thing, and the next thing. And God has wonderful things in store for me. So always allow God to work through you and change you, because it's never about us, but it's about how God can work through us in all that we do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So they're all at this wedding, and wouldn't you know it, the wine runs out. How do you have a party without wine, right? I'm sure everyone's gravely concerned, and according to Jesus' mom, it's a pretty big deal. In fact, she has a simple solution, not to go out and buy more, but to ask her son to fix it. She says, Jesus, you know what to do. Just get it done. I don't know about you, but I can picture Jesus just thinking, I didn't have this in mind as my first miracle. It's just not that incredible, making wine. Jesus is God in the flesh, and the first miracle his mom wants him to perform is to make sure the party doesn't end. He knows Scripture, and he knows the great miracles, the great ones, like Daniel in the lion's den, Elijah calling fire from heaven on the altar, Elisha healing Captain Naaman's leprosy. There are certainly more important and impactful miracles Jesus could perform, like healing a blind person or casting out demons. So he tells his mom, this isn't it, Mom. You can't be here at a wedding just because the wine's run out. This is not going to be my first miracle. Now, his mom ignores him and knows he needs a little warming up to the idea. So she tells the servants to do what he says. And wouldn't you know it, he does it. He obeys his mom, and Jesus' first miracle is turning water into wine. I think God has a sense of humor, and he wants to remind us it's not always about the big, important, significant things in our faith, but it's about celebrating life. It's about relationships. Now, even the author of Ecclesiastes discovers this as wisdom. It says this in chapter 8, verse 15, "So I commend the enjoyment of life, because there is nothing better for a person under the sun than to eat and drink and be glad." There were healers in Jesus' time, people who could cure people just by a touch. But nobody could turn water into wine. That kind of thing just didn't happen. So his disciples, who'd been hearing him preach, just witnessed this first miracle. If they hadn't really believed he was really God in the flesh, they now saw him, Jesus, turn water into wine. My guess is they believed him. Impressively, Mary, recognizing the time, it was a right time. While it didn't seem glamorous, it was the right thing at the right time. It was more about the situation than anything. And sometimes the situation chooses us. It chose Jesus, and he had a choice. He could either pass it up or he could do it. This is what I want to talk about today. There are some times when a situation presents itself, and while it might not be what we had in mind, or it might not be what we wanted or planned or imagined, God has a way of nudging us. And it's in these nudges we can either follow God and, like Jesus, do it, or we can let the moment pass us by. So we have to ask ourselves over and over again whether we should let God work through us, whether it's the right time. Just like the dilemma Jesus faced when he was asked to make more wine, he quickly dodges his mom, reminding her that it wasn't his time, but somehow she recognized something that he didn't. Then he recognized it too. It's not just about him, but about what God desires. I know you've heard about these kinds of situations before, either in books or in real life scenarios where someone's at an impasse and presented a situation. They don't always feel the most qualified. They might not want to do it, but then they step out in courage. They step out in faith. Maybe they feel like they don't have any other choice, but they do it anyway. And the situation, however difficult or unglamorous it might be, God is able to work. Mother Teresa said, "I alone cannot change the world, but I can cast a stone across the waters to create ripples." In the movie The Help, Abilene was a black maid in Jackson, Mississippi in the 60s, and a situation arose in which she had to take immense courage. She was asked by an aspiring young white author to share her point of view of a white family for which she had worked, the struggle she faced on a daily basis. You see, even having this kind of conversation with the author was illegal, and she knew that if she went down this road, she could find herself in jail or hurt or even dead. Abilene had to make a choice. She didn't even know whether she had the guts to share her story. It certainly wasn't a glamorous story. She was just a maid. She was a nobody. But in her story was the truth about how she and so many others faced racism on a daily basis. Somehow, she finally decides to tell her story. Maybe it was because she was tired. Maybe because she had nothing else to lose. Her son was just killed because he was black. She had just heard a sermon from the pastor about having courage. Whatever the reason, she was presented this situation to share her story about being a maid. And it took great courage and trust, and she did it. She told her story, and she convinced other black maids to tell their stories. And eventually, those stories turned into this book. And it helped others know about how they were treated. In this moment, her courage turned into something bigger and more powerful than she could imagine. Somehow, God has a way of turning the unglamorous into something great. But what about those situations that aren't really impressive or glamorous? Because those are the kinds of situations that most of us are used to having. We're not Jesus or working on publishing a book with an author. But on a daily basis, we're presented with situations all the time, especially humdrum, unglorious ones, and we might want to know how God can work through it. Richard Bach says, "A tiny change today brings a dramatically different day tomorrow." A few years ago, on a snowy morning, while I was writing a sermon, Siobhan asked me to pause from writing for a few minutes. Now, the snow is not as heavy or as big as the one we had this last week, but she told me I should shovel the drive. I wasn't very thrilled about it, but I said, "Yes, dear." And right before I headed outside, Siobhan asked one more question. "Would you shovel our neighbor's drive too?" And she could tell I was hesitating and that I didn't really want to do it, so she reminded me, "You know, she's really old, and it would be awful if she fell when she went to go get her mail. Please, I'd really like you to do it." I took a deep breath, and I said, "Yes, dear." I knew it was the right thing to do, even though I didn't want to, so I went out to shovel two driveways. As I think about it today, I was shoveling someone's driveway. It's not the least bit glamorous. It wasn't something I woke up wanting to do. Even when I was asked, I didn't want to do it. In fact, my neighbor might not even have noticed. Similarly, this week, there were lots of people helping others. Those helping cars get unstuck, shoveling neighbors' drives, clearing sidewalks so kids could get to school safely. These are very unglamorous things. Just as we hear about Jesus turning water into wine, so we hear stories like Abilene's courage, sharing her story and convincing others. The reality is we're sometimes put into situations. Sometimes they amount to something incredible, while other times they don't. But if we open ourselves to the unglamorous situations, God can work most powerfully through the everyday, mundane things. My guess is Jesus knew this best. Certainly for a moment, he thought it wasn't his time. But then he recognized it wasn't about him, or whether it was the perfect miracle that he had ever imagined. Instead, it was always about God. If Jesus didn't open himself up to turn water into wine, something simple, something unglamorous, then what else would he miss? When would it be his time? God wanted Jesus to act in the simple, everyday kinds of things, because it wasn't about Jesus, it was about God. For God can turn the unglamorous into the astounding. Margaret Mead says this, "Never believe that a few caring people can't change the world. For indeed, that's all who ever have." That's what I hope you recognize this morning, especially as we install and ordain our church's leaders, the old people. Each of us will have many opportunities, many situations that arise, some not exactly as we anticipate, some not as easy as we would like, some we might not feel very qualified for, and some that aren't very glamorous. And yet today, as we ordain these folks and install them, we'll also see a large crowd who gather behind and put their hand and rest their hand on them, and allow them to know that they are not alone in this venture, that we will help them through this, that God will help them, because God can work through each one of us. God can turn something simple and mundane and unglamorous into something that we can look back later and say, "God put me in that situation so that I'd be ready for the next thing, and then the next thing, and the next thing, and God has wonderful things in store for me." So always allow God to work through you and change you, because it's never about us, but it's about how God can work through us in all that we do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.